burden yourself with that stuff. Your salvation is in faith in Jesus Christ and Him alone. It has nothing to do with works, but when you accept Christ, you're going to be bearing some good fruit. You're going to be doing some works, but it's not those works that save you. So do not be bound by these rules and these laws. This is a false teaching. And then as he addresses that, he goes to the other, Paul goes to the other extremes. Like, look, you have this amazing freedom in Christ, but look here, God is not giving you a license to just go do any weird, foul, demonic thing you want to do. You know, he's saying, you know, there's this battle, this war inside of each and every one of us. And that's what Paul's addressing. That's what we're going to talk about today. You know, we're a spirit. We live in this flesh, and the Holy Spirit dwells inside of the heart of every single believer. So there's this tug of war, and that's what we're addressing today. But I say, it's Galatians 5, 16 through 18. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other, to keep you from doing the things you want to do. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Let's pray. Lord, thank you, Father God, that you are in our presence today. Thank you for your anointing. Father God, thank you that you will lead us in the direction that you want us to go in. That what you want to be said will be said, and we will receive it and we will walk in it. Holy Spirit, you are welcome in this place. We need you more than ever. Thank you, Father God. Your will be done with this congregation. Your will be done in our homes and in our communities and in our person. We love you and praise you in the mighty, wonderful, precious name of Jesus Christ. Everybody in church building said, amen. Give the Lord some praise. So do your best to give me your attention for the next hour and 45 minutes or so, 2 hours maybe. And I will do my best to not be boring. Galatians 5, because I know what it's like. I know what it's like to be out there, guys. Your mind wanders and all that, and you're tired. You've worked so hard all week. I dig it. I understand it. So I'll do my best. And you just open up your heart and your ears. But I say, walk in the Spirit. This is slide 2. But I say, walk in the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. So here's that word walk again, like last week. Now walking, the word walk in Scripture is often a metaphor for life. You know, the direction you are heading, my daily living. So that's what we're talking about. He's not talking about a brisk evening walk. That's just a metaphor, the picture he's comparing your life to. Can I get a witness? But I walk, but I say walk. This is the instruction. But I say walk in the Spirit. So what's he saying there, man? Well, I'm a Christian. You're a Christian. Raise your hands if you're a Christian. Okay, that means you have the Holy Spirit dwelling inside you. Can I get a witness? You are sealed. You are sealed by the Holy Spirit. Okay, you belong to the Most High God. And Paul says, looky here, you have this wonderful blessing of the indwelling Holy Spirit. Now walk by that Spirit, or live by that Spirit, or become a partner with that Holy Spirit. And when I say partner, I mean you are the junior partner. You got the little name on the side. Can I get a witness? All right, he's the one in charge. That's how it's supposed to be. Okay, he's saying, live by the Spirit, walk by the Spirit, do life with the Spirit. You are subordinate, you are to be submissive to his leadership. Can I get a witness? And so we have this amazing blessing where because I am now a Christian, newsflash, man, and I'm talking to myself, because we're a Christian and we have the Holy Spirit in us, I don't have to give in to that sinful lifestyle anymore. You know, and as we talk about, you know, this gratifying the desires of the flesh, I don't know if it's just me. I don't think it's just me. But whenever I read something like that, I immediately think of like immoral sexual living or something like that. And that's definitely a part of it. That's definitely a part of it. Amen. But it's, you know, it's the little foxes too, or what we would consider to be a little fox, you know. I mean, for instance, just think about if you've ever had unforgiveness in your life. Imagine can you relate to how destructive that is? How destructive that is to you? And that has little to no effect on the person you can't stand and hate. You know what I mean? But it's eating you up on the inside. And think about gossip. We don't think a lot about gossip. There's a lot about that in the scripture, you know? And we'll give ourselves excuses why it's okay to do. I'm not really gossiping. I just think we need to pray for this person or whatever, you know? So, I mean, here's a good idea. I'm not talking from my ivory tower here, you know? But before I say something, it's always good to wait before you say something, by the way, you know? But before you say it, who said take a breath? Yeah, man. Yes, take a breath, count to 10, do whatever you got to do, and think, what is my motive behind saying this? Is this to lift that person up, or is it to lift me up, or is this to pull that person down? You know, oh my gosh, you know, we could do a whole sermon on gossip, and I would just pull that out of the air from the Holy Spirit, you know? But, you know, when you gossip about somebody, are you harbor unforgiveness against somebody? Think about how much that crushes the heart of the Lord, you know, because we so much want God's love and forgiveness and mercy and grace in our life, and we have it. We have it, you know? But sometimes someone has hurt us or whatever. I didn't mean to talk about this, but here we go. You know, somebody's hurt us, and man, they've really, really hurt us, you know? But God says, release them. Release them. I released you, Paul. I released you. You are forgiven of your sins. And man, I know all too well, man, I've been a rotten, foul sinner. You know what I mean? To this very moment, I'm constantly messing up. You know what I mean? And I'm a Christian, man. I'm a preacher, but I'm so unperfect. You know what I mean? But I have his grace and his mercy. And that should mean something to me. So when these people have done us wrong, and yeah, I know they've done you wrong. I get it, man. I understand it. You know, God loves that person just as much as he loves you. And I think that, you know, God taught me something several years back, you know, just being a father of a brood of vipers, I didn't say it because it ain't true. But I'm a father of five kids. And I think one of the most painful things that you can experience as a parent is when your children are so brutally cruel to one another. You know what I mean? And they feel justified in doing it, right? But as a parent, it just breaks your heart. You know what I mean? If you just understood how much I love that child, you would give them some grace. And here's God saying, hello, knucklehead. That's what I'm trying to tell you. I died for them just like I died for you. Can I get a witness? Give the Lord some praise. So to walk in the Spirit is to yield to the Holy Spirit that already indwells you. You know, think about yielding for a second. You know, everybody knows what I'm talking about. You're driving and you see that sign and it says yield. What does that mean? That doesn't mean speed up and try and cut that person off and go before him and get in a wreck. It means let that person go ahead. Yield. You yield. That's what we do to the Holy Spirit. We yield to the Holy Spirit. We say, you take the lead. You're in charge. That's what we do. We follow the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit gives me direction. Amen. The Holy Spirit gives me direction. And thank God for that direction. Amen. So, Here's a test. Here's a test right here. Because we're going to hear from the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is going to say, do this. The Holy Spirit is going to say, sow this. The Holy Spirit is going to say, don't do that. The Holy Spirit is going to say, stand on this promise. And the Holy Spirit will never, ever, ever, ever contradict the Word of God. Not at all. It will never do that. So, because I say that because the Holy Spirit gives us direction, but my flesh likes to play little games a lot of the time. Can I get a witness? And my flesh will say, hey, God's cool with this sin that you're messing around with. It won't be like that. It won't say, hey, the Holy Spirit, God the Father, Jesus Christ is cool with that sin. But you will give yourself an allowance to do something. You're saying, well, you're practically, basically saying, God's rules don't matter. You know, what he wants from me doesn't matter. Does that make sense? You know, that I'm going to do what I want to do. And we can trick ourselves and deceive ourselves. God doesn't mind if I do this, or God understands my situation. He does completely understand our situation. But he says, look, when you choose to do this, you're choosing to suffer. You're choosing to hurt yourself and those people closest to you, because our sin, our precious little pet sins, you know what I'm talking about, they're not just affecting you. That's another one of those lies. It's not just affecting you, but it's going to affect those people that are most precious to you. So when I receive direction from the Holy Spirit, okay, the Bible says test the spirits. So when I receive direction from the Holy Spirit, it's got to line up with the Word of God, or it ain't the Holy Spirit. Amen? So look with me, Psalm 119, verse 105. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. I love that verse. Obviously, I love that verse. I use it all the time in a sermon. But if it ain't broke, don't try and fix it, right? You know, your word is a lamp to my feet. This is talking about God's word. It directs me and leads me, keeps me on that safe path if I listen to it. So the Holy Spirit is going to tell me to do things, but it's going to line up with the Word of God every single time. So what I'm saying, you got to have the Word of God in you. You've got to spend time in the Word. You got to do that. And I want to encourage every single person here. You say that every Sunday. That's what we do, man. We're Christians. You know, if God said, here is your manual for life, this is the manual for life, wouldn't it be to our advantage to spend time in it and get to know it? You know, and there's a million and one ways to do that. You know, you got the Bible can be on your phone. You know what I mean? Like you guys didn't know that. You could put anything in the world on your phone, you know, but you can have the Bible on your phone. You can have your phone read the Bible to you, you know. So we have all these wonderful advantages of being a Christian in this day and age. And we should take advantage of that, but we need to saturate ourselves in the Word of God, because that's what the Holy Spirit is going to point you to. The Holy Spirit's going to say, this is what my Word says, now walk in this. This is what my Word says, now do this. Can I get a witness? So the Holy Spirit gives me direction, and oh, don't we need it? And, you know, the Holy Spirit gives me power. That sounds kind of weird. Well, it depends on what church you grew up in. It doesn't sound weird to me. But you know, there's power in the Holy Spirit. One of the things we do when we get baptized in the Holy Spirit, what you're basically doing when you get baptized in the Holy Spirit, is you're saying, God, I want what you want for me. I want the gifts that you want me to have. You are in charge. I am your servant. I am your child. I know that you want what's best for me. And I know you want to use me. So, Father God, you give me the spiritual gifts that you want me to have. And then we got to begin to walk in those. You know what I mean? Because God wants the gifts to operate in every single church, you know? And so we're growing. Everybody's growing in that. But we got to have the Word of God in us. Look at Psalm 119 and verse 11. Read Psalm 119. This is a massive book in the middle of the Bible. And the gleaning I get from it, you know, the basic cliff note is you need to spend time in this word. You know what I mean? So I have stored up your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. So I have stored up your word in my heart that I might not do something stupid again, that I might not get into the flesh and do something that is going to hurt you, and that is going to cause me to regret what I'm about to do. Can I get a witness? He says, man, you know, Psalm 1 talks about being in the Word of God. There's so many blessings we get by getting saturating ourselves in the Word of God. Your Word, I've hidden my heart. Talking about the Holy Spirit and those gifts, you know, and I'm sure this has happened to a lot of you guys out there. I know it has. I've witnessed it with some of you guys. I've heard stories from some of you guys. But I can't tell you how many times personally I've been asked a question, like a real spiritual question, man. You know, or somebody, you know, wants to be confrontational or something about my stance as far as being a Christian or something like that. And the word that I've hidden my heart will just come up. You know, like I'll begin to recite a verse with love, recite a verse that I didn't even know that I had memorized. You know what I mean? Like something I may have studied 8 years ago or 10 years ago, you know, but that word we have hidden in our heart and it's there for when we need it. You know what I mean? So God gives us that power through the Holy Spirit. You know, Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through him who strengthens me. Now, everybody knows that verse. Everybody in here knows that verse. You might not know the address of where it lives, but you've heard that verse and you know what it is. You know, sometimes through repetition, things can kind of get blasé to us, but we can't let these things lose their power in our heart. You know what I mean? I can do all things. What does that mean? It means that if God needs you to do something, he's going to equip you with the ability to do that. You know what I mean? That's our Lord. That's our Lord right there. So I can do all things through him, through Jesus Christ, through the Holy Spirit, through him who gives me the strength I need. So I can say no to that sin. And God knows, man, you know, as Christian people, we get so discouraged living in a cycle of sin, repent, sin, repent, sin, repent, sin, with the same thing. You know what I mean? And so thank God for that forgiveness. But you know what? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. See, the best I'm going to do by myself is mess things up. That's the truth. The best I'm going to do on my own, trying to fix my marriage, trying to fix my kids, trying to fix whatever, I'm not going to be able to do it the right way. But I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Amen. God, give the Lord some praise. That ain't horrible. So this is not on the slides. It's not on your bulletin. But 2 Timothy, this is a good one. 2 Timothy 1 and verse 7. For God has not given us, for God has not given Caleb, for God has not given Sister Claudia, for God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity, but of power. But of power, there's those gifts, but of power, love, and self-discipline. As self-discipline, I don't have to settle the score with you anymore. And my flesh is like, yeah, you do, man. Don't let them get away with that. Man, what are you going to take that like a baby? Lean into the Lord's wisdom, man. Lean into the Lord's wisdom. Dude, I'm the one standing in the need of prayer. I'm talking about myself, but I know this touches all of us. Can I get a witness? You know, that self-discipline where I couldn't say no before, the sin phone rang and I was like, oh, because people said, you know, I'll be back in a minute, baby. I got to go do something, you know, but we got that self-discipline through the Holy Spirit and love. We talked about this last week. How in the world would God expect you to love your enemy? Huh? Because he ain't going to tell you to do something and not make a way for you to do it. You know what I mean? But he says, I want you to love your enemies. What are you talking about? The person that killed my mom or killed my dad or did this horrible thing to me when I was a child? It's a supernatural thing, man. It ain't in you. It ain't in me talking about loving someone that has done their best to make your life a living hell. Can I get a witness? That's not in you. But God says, oh, what a powerful, powerful testimony. When you just yield to the Holy Spirit and let me begin to cultivate love and forgiveness in your heart towards this person. You know, It's nothing less than supernatural or the power of the Holy Spirit that gives you the ability to love your enemy and pray for those who persecute you. Amen. And that's what comes along with it. Because I'm growing in the gifts, I'm growing in the fruits of the Spirit. You know, there's that peace that God wants me to have. And that's by yielding to the Holy Spirit. Give the Lord some praise. For God has not given us a spirit, because he has given us a spirit that's the Holy Spirit. He hasn't given us a spirit of fear or timidity. Look at these amazing preachers. You know, I'm talking about Bible folk. You know what I mean? Look at Paul the Apostle. That boldness, knowing these people are about to try and kill him. Look at Stephen, you know, just saturated with the Holy Spirit, saying, I could probably talk my way out of this and go home in time for dinner. You know what? But here's this crowd of people that hate my guts, and I'm just going to give them the gospel. I'm going to give, you talk about that boldness, you know. That's our God. He doesn't give you a spirit of fear or timidity. Amen. But of power, love, self-discipline. Let's go to the next slide. No. Scratch that. Same slide, same bat channel. But I say, walk in the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. Every time I read that over the years, I'm like, well, I've certainly tried to satisfy the desires of the flesh. I've certainly made it my goal to gratify the desires of the flesh. But it's not possible. It's not possible. That doesn't stop us from doing it. You know, that doesn't stop us from giving it our all. So here's the thing, you know, we got to work hard at yielding to the Holy Spirit. And God will help me do that if I want to do that. You know what I'm saying? I can do all things through Christ. He will help me do that if I want to do that. I don't have to work hard to be a sinner. I don't have to work hard. That's just my natural default setting, man. You know what I mean? To focus on me and what Paul wants. Can I get a witness? You know what I'm talking about? You don't have to work hard about that. You know, I was born with a lot of that stuff, man. You know, just this rotten stuff. But I don't have to give into that anymore. You cannot fulfill the desires of the flesh. Not that you won't try. Can I get a witness? Example. Do you guys know what I'm talking about? I mean, my goodness gracious. It is. And we're going to hit the ground running, you know? So we got to wake up. We got to get out of the bed, determined that this is the day the Lord has made, and I'm going to serve him. I'm going to follow him. So Hebrews 11, 24 and 25, Moses, we hear a little bit about Moses right here. Now, you know, Moses had this amazing situation, something that we could all kind of understand how this dude really had it all at his fingertips, man. You know, not that we could relate to that, but this guy, Moses, was the adopted son of Pharaoh's daughter. That's making him Pharaoh's grandson, right? And a lot of historians think that Moses was being groomed to be the next Pharaoh. So this guy had these were the big guys on the block back then. Egypt. He had access to anything and everything he wanted. You know, but there was something missing. There was that hole inside him that can only be filled by the Lord. Let me read this right here. By faith, Hebrews 11, 24, 25. By faith, Moses, when he was grown up, because that's what God's saying. He's saying, Paul, it's time for you to grow up. You know, it's time to mature a little bit. It's time to let me work a little bit in your life there. The clock's ticking and I need to use you. By faith, Moses, when he was grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to be mistreated with the people of God than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. The fleeting pleasures of sin. Because sin is joyful for a season. Can I get a witness? Right? Tell the truth, shame the devil. But you know what? I mean, if it wasn't exciting, if it wasn't fun, you wouldn't mess around with it. You know what I'm talking about? But Moses, he's got his hand on it. It's like, That's a temporary thing that's going to lead to nowhere good. That's a temporary thing. So when I compare that to the eternal pleasures that God has prepared for me, you know, I'm talking about eternity in the Lord's presence where every tear is wiped away, where there's nothing but joy. You know what I mean? It's like, why would I mess with that? And he even chooses, you know what? I align myself up with God's people. If it costs me my life, it costs me my life. It's not my own anyways. I'm going to serve God while I'm here, whatever that looks like. Because what this world has to offer is only temporary, and it's a trap. And at best, it gives and takes away. Tell the truth, shame the devil, right? James, James 1:15, it's not on your thing. But I thought this was kind of cool. When sin is allowed to grow, it gives birth to death. That is so scary, man. You know what I mean? That's what God says. Look, if you mess around with this stuff, it leads to nowhere good. Nowhere good at all. Ephesians 5 and 15. So we mentioned this last week. Ephesians 5 and verse 15. Paul says, look, take this walk seriously. Take this day-to-day living seriously. Be determined to serve God with your life, minute by minute, day by day. So that means pushing down the flesh constantly. Amen? Ephesians 5:15, look carefully then how you walk. Remember, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light for my path. Look carefully how you walk. Be on guard. Watch your step. This is a serious deal. You've only got a certain amount of time here. So Paul's telling the Ephesians, don't waste your time. Don't waste your time. The days are evil. There's a lot of temptation out there. There's a lot of mess that can tie you up and bound you up, bind you up. Don't mess around with that stuff. Be determined to serve God. Look carefully then how you walk. Not as unwise, but as wise. That's about as simple as you can get, right? You know, it's like, here's your choice. Here's your choice today. You can be wise or you can be unwise. You can follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. You can follow what Scripture says, or you can just go around living by your five senses and just go get into trouble. Tell the truth, shame the devil. Let's go to the next slide. Slide 3. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh, which is a fool's errand to begin with. Not that we don't try. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit. And the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh, for these are opposed to each other. That's why the Lord says, don't be unequally yoked with unbeliever. There, I said it. I don't know why, but I said, for the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh, for these are opposed to each other to keep you from doing the things you want to do. That's the real life struggle right there that goes on inside of each and every Christian. You know what I mean? The unbelievers don't worry about that. You know, they have their code or whatever, but we have the Holy Spirit living inside of us that says, don't do that. Do this. I want you to be blessed. I don't want you to carry all this baggage. You know, I want you to be set free. I love you. You're my child. You know, but there's that war inside of us as Christian folks, that tug of war, you know, the flesh wants this. The Spirit wants this. The Spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. You know what I mean? There's that constant friction, that tug of war. I've said before, and I don't say it for you to feel sorry. I mean, I do, I guess, want you to feel sorry for me a little bit. Yeah. No, I don't really want you to do that. I don't know why I tell you. But okay, so look, man, when I was a kid, you know, I didn't get picked out for a lot of the sports stuff and all that. You know, I was like the last guy picked and all that. And that's okay, man. It's fine. I got even with all those people. That's to old me. That's no. But you know what? I did get picked out for the tug of wars. Yeah. So, yeah, the curriculum in, I was talking to my old lady, Rachel Jean, about this a while back, my kids and stuff. That the curriculum in middle school for like physical education in my day was like just bizarre. You know, like we had I think the craziest thing is that we had like a 2 week period or something where we were learning how to, oh man, what's that crazy dancing? Square dancing, man. We had to square dance. Where does that fit into your life? I mean, we live in the deep south, but I ain't never had to know how to do-si-do, not yet. True that. I guess you're right, Miss Kim. I do remember having fun doing it, but thinking, why in God's name are we doing this? You know? But, you know, I think a lot of the stuff to do with the physical education is why my generation and those that have come before me are not a bunch of wimps. You know, I mean, we were out there trying to kill each other half the time. Well, yeah, smash people's face with the, yeah. But anywho, to save time so everyone can get to the buffet, you know, we had to do tug of wars and stuff sometimes, you know, or, you know, pulling on the rope thing. I did get picked out for that one, you know, but I don't know why. I just had to do a little 5 minute filler time for you. But look, man, here we go. Here's Mr. Stimson. You know, inside there's a tug of war. You know, the flesh wants to do this and the spirit wants to do this. And you know who's going to win? The one you feed. So think about that one. Can I get a witness? So, but there is hope. Romans 7 and verse 15 and Romans 7, 19. Now, this right here is really, really cool to me because we have the Apostle Paul, who was always so truthful, you know, and he's talking about to the church in Rome. Let me just read what he's saying, because this guy is a powerhouse for the kingdom of God. But this is what he said. For I do not understand my own actions. Can I get a witness? You ever been like that? For I do not understand my own actions. For I do not do what I want, but I do the very thing I hate. This is the Apostle Paul just being brutally honest, saying yet again, I'm not perfect, man. I got that tug of war going on inside me as well. For I do not do, this is 19, for I do not do the good I want to do, for I do not do the good I want, but the evil I do not want is what I keep on doing. Can you relate to that? I mean, let's be truthful. Yes, I can totally relate to that. There's that tug of war. Look at James 4 and verse 7. James 4 and verse 7. Submit yourselves. So that's this whole thing. That's really the root of it, right? Yielding to the Holy Spirit, submitting yourself, letting God take control over you, right? Remember last week we talked about don't get drunk on wine. That leads to debauchery, but be being filled with the Holy Spirit. You know, the Apostle Paul was telling the Ephesians, look, when you get drunk or you get high, you're turning yourself over to something else, right? That's just a fact of the matter. If you've been high, you know what I'm talking about. You know, you're just handing the car keys over to something saying, you can drive for a while. Okay? That's just how that thing works, okay? So don't get drunk on wine because that leads to debauchery. Or don't start making these stupid decisions because you let your guard down because these stupid decisions lead to really bad consequences. You know what I'm saying? So it's not a prohibition on having wine with dinner or something like that. It's just saying, man, that you're going to turn yourself over to something. Turn yourself over to the Holy Spirit. You let the Holy Spirit guide you and lead you. Tell the truth, shame the devil, right? Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil. Talking about this friction, this war that's waging inside of each and every one of us. Hey, you know what? Be committed to serving God, turning yourself over to the Holy Spirit, amen, yielding to the Holy Spirit. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. How am I going to do that? Well, I'm going to resist the devil. I'm going to say, no, that's a trap. I'm not going to do that, right? I'm going to test the spirits. I'm going to yield to the Holy Spirit's direction. If it's not of God, I'm not going to entertain it. I'm going to rebuke it, and I'm going to keep moving forward, amen? Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Is that true? It's totally true. It's totally, yeah, if the Bible says it, it's true. So the problem would be we're not understanding it right if we don't think it's true, but it's always true if it's in scripture. But you know, he says, if you resist him, he's going to flee. If he's not getting anywhere, he's going to go back, look at his notes and look for an opportune time, look for another weak area that he's going to try and exploit. But he's not going to waste his time where he's not getting anywhere. And you know, resisting Satan, I'm pretty confident it doesn't matter. I'm not going to say that. I don't think any of us have. Sure, Satan himself is not attacking us. Now, he's got his minions, his little imps, because Satan can't be everywhere. He's got his little imps, his little demons, his little minions, you know, that are poking on us, trying to get us to do things we shouldn't do. But we're being led away by our own desires, you know? Tell the truth. Okay, so we don't have to give into this nonsense. Submit to God. Well, that sounds pretty easy. Well, easier said than done. It's a commitment. Commitment to following God over myself and to be prayed up and stay in the scriptures, because you can do really, really good for a really long time. This is me talking about myself. You can do really, really good for a really long time. But then, man, you know, that persistence, and boom, you just messed up, man. You know, there was that weak link and Satan exploited that. And I gave him everything he needed, and I just messed up everything. That might not make sense to you, but it makes sense to me. Zechariah 4 in verse 6. Now, the prophet Zechariah, this is Old Testament stuff, but it fits. The prophet Zechariah was given a word to Zerubbabel, and that's a name that's kind of fallen out of grace. Remember when we were growing up, there was all these kids named Zerubbabel? You just don't see that anymore. That's the dumbest thing I've said today. No, probably not. So Zechariah, the prophet, was given this word to give to Zerubbabel, the governor of Jerusalem, concerning the rebuilding of the temple. And this is what he says. Zechariah 4, verse 6. Then he said to me, this is what God said to Zechariah the prophet. Then he said to me, this is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. That's it. That's it right there, you know? So not by human might, not by human power, because we're going to fall short. We're not going to be able to say no to what we need to say no to, or yes to what we need to say yes to. You know what I'm talking about. Can't do it all the time, but I can do all things through Christ. Not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, but by that Holy Spirit that dwells inside of me, that gives me direction, gives me power. Amen? It's not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. So it doesn't matter what you're thinking. It matters what the Lord of hosts says. That's what you stand on. Amen? Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him and he'll make your path straight. That's what matters, what God says. That's what we take to the bank. That's what we trust in. Let's go to the next slide. Is everyone doing okay? It's the last slide. But I say, walk by the Spirit and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh, for these are opposed to each other to keep you from doing the things you want to do. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. So this implies that if I'm led by the Spirit, what it implies is that I'm allowing myself to be led by the Spirit. That's my part where I say, I submit to you. Amen. It says this in Galatians 5, 25, just a couple verses down the line here. If we are led by the Spirit, that's what we're talking about today. I'm submitting to the Holy Spirit. If we are led by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. That's kind of confusing. No, not really. It's talking about I'm being led by the Spirit. I'm allowing myself to be led by the Spirit. And what it's saying is I'm letting the Holy Spirit walk in front of me like a shepherd. I'm following him. I'm stepping in his footsteps. That's going to keep me out of trouble. You know what I mean? Not that life's going to be easy or fair, but you know what? I'm going to keep myself out of a lot of trouble if I just stay in step with the Spirit, following right behind his direction. You know what I'm saying? The Lord is my shepherd. He gathers his flock like a shepherd. This is God saying, all right, I'm going with you. Follow behind me. That's the Holy Spirit. We yield to that. Can I get a witness? Romans 6:13. Do not present your members. Not talking about the members of a congregation, talking about the parts of your body, who you are. Do not present your members to sin as instruments for unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life. And that's us. That's us. We are no longer spiritually dead. All right. We're no longer a dead man walking. You know where that term comes from? So back in the, So when you're condemned to die in prison, you have to do this walk down death row to where you're going to be taking your final breaths, and they do whatever they're going to do to you, electric chair, injection, whatever's going on. And back in the day, when they would take this condemned man and there'd be guards on each side, they would say, dead man walking, like pay your last respects, this dude's about to die, you know? And so before Christ, before I accepted Jesus Christ, that's what I was. I was a dead man walking. I was on my way to eternal damnation by my own actions, by me choosing to not follow God, by choosing to not accept that grace. But now that I've accepted that wonderful, precious gift, I'm no longer a dead man walking. You know what I mean? I'm talking about joys everlasting. Give the Lord some praise. Eternity is a long time to get to know the Lord and to learn and grow in him. And it's a long time for us to be together. And do not present your members to sin as instruments for unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and your members to God as instruments for righteousness. Last week, we talked about making the most of your time. Moses in Psalm 90 said, teach us to number our days. You know, we need to understand that this thing's moving fast, man. You know what I mean? This thing's moving fast, and God says, make the most of your time. The days are evil. Be serious about your walk and serve the Lord with everything you got, and you can do so much through the Holy Spirit. Can I get a witness? There's a world that needs us. Amen. There's a world that needs us. And he tapped us on the shoulder and he says, go make a difference. Tell the truth, shame the devil. So I think, you know, like, so we drop the ball as Christians. We mess up all the time. That's the truth. Maybe it's just me. I don't know. But so we got this wonderful blessing. 1 John. You got it right there. 1 John 1:9. So, you know, when we mess up as Christians, we do it all the time, man. You know, maybe you're looking at something you shouldn't look at, feel grieved about it. Maybe you said something you probably shouldn't have said. Maybe you feel grieved about it. If you don't feel grieved about sinning, then we do have a problem. Because that's the Holy Spirit is saying, before you did it, before you said it, before you clicked on it, before you did it, whatever, you know what I mean? It was like, Holy Spirit was like, don't do that. Shouldn't do that. But then after you do it, he's like, okay, you need to say you're sorry. You need to see this the way God sees it, and you need to say you're sorry to him. Amen? 1 John 1 and verse 9. Now, this is a beautiful thing right here. And thank God we have access to this as Christian folk. If we confess our sins, and you have access to it before you're a Christian, all right? Thank God for that. You know what I mean? Washed by the blood of the Lamb. I'm saved. I'm forgiven. But what happens? if I'm, as a Christian, I'm doing stuff I shouldn't do because I'm not yielding to that Holy Spirit. I'm feeding my flesh, man. You know what I mean? I'm going to be one miserable Christian. I'm going to be one miserable Christian. And you know what? You're not going to be bearing any good fruit. You're not going to be bearing a lot of good fruit. Amen. And you're carrying all that baggage, all that bondage, you know, and it's hurting your fellowship with the Lord. Amen. The Lord's like, you got to deal with this. You got to deal with this. I love you. You know, look at your kid. If you got a kid, they might do something crazy and very, very hurtful to you. You would never stop loving them. You would never say you're no longer in my family. Even if you said that, you wouldn't mean that. You know what I mean? There's no kicking you out of the family, Paul. I love you too much for that. The price was way too valuable for me to ever even entertain that. Can I get a witness? But what you're doing is you're hurting our fellowship. And that's not productive, man. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Anything, whatever it is. He says, you see it the way I see it. That is a supernatural thing right there sometimes. To see your sin life the way God sees it. You know what I mean? That's the Holy Spirit saying, I love you, but this is repulsive behavior. I do not like that. And God wants to change our, renew our minds in the way we see things and think about things through the washing of the word. So we're like, oh, what a selfish numbskull I have been. Please forgive me. What a repulsive thing I've done. Tell the truth, Chantadel, right? Give the Lord some praise. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. So remember what, you know, I gave the little introduction thing at the beginning of the sermon where the Apostle Paul was talking to the Galatians and these false teachers had come in and they were saying, oh, if you want to be saved, it's not by faith alone. It's not by accepting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You got to walk the line, man. You got to be like a Jew. You got to get circumcised. You got to follow the customs. You got to do all the ceremonial law. You got to do all that. So these false teachers were putting this burden on these Christians. Apostle Paul was like, nope. But then he says, you know, also, that pendulum sure does swing. So make sure you are trying to live a moral life, and you can live a moral life by yielding to the Holy Spirit. You can live and be that person God wants you to be by yielding to the Holy Spirit. You know, like John the Baptist said, it's got to be more of God, less of me. More of him, less of me. But he says, but if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. So don't live like you're under the law. Don't live like you used to live before you were a Christian. Amen? Here we go. The fact that you are yielding to the Holy Spirit, the fact that the Holy Spirit is something in you that is part of you, is proof that you're not under the law. That's proof that I'm not bound by that anymore. A bunch of rules that I could not keep anyways. But I have the Holy Spirit dwelling inside me, meaning I'm no longer bound by that, okay? I am saved by grace. Romans 8:14 says it like this. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. So if I'm being led by the Spirit of God, if that's something in my life, I'm being convicted of my sin, I'm being led by the Spirit of God, guess what that means? That means I'm a child of God's. That means I'm washed in the blood. I'm saved. I'm forgiven. Now I need to live like it. Amen? Father God, thank you for your convicting power. Thank you, Father God, that your will is going to be done in our hearts and in our homes, Lord God, that we will be determined to yield and follow and be filled constantly with your Holy Spirit, and that you are in charge and we submit to you. We love you and praise you in the mighty, wonderful, precious name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.